Hello, everybody. Dr. Lonnie Stewart here from the Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast. Are you a physical therapy student about to start studying for the National Physical Therapy Examination? Or maybe you're a professor, a program director, or a clinical instructor who teaches DPT students preparing for the NPTE? Either way, we would recommend checking out our sponsor, NPTE Final Frontier, and the community they've built around preparing for and succeeding on the NPTE. That exam and the preparation that goes along with it can be long, tedious, difficult, and stress-inducing, but it doesn't have to be. NPTE Final Frontier has the tactics and resources to help address all of the usual barriers. They even have scholarships to help with NPTE study courses, FSBPT registration fees, and even research opportunities. And if that's not enough, they're even donating to the very first annual HET Podcast Scholarship to be awarded at the end of every year. Go to npteff.com for all of the details and use code HET for 10% off all purchases. Links to both the NPTE Final Frontier and their scholarship options are available in the show notes. And now, let's get ready to learn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Healthcare Education Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. F. Scott Field. And this is the largest panel of guests we've ever had at one time on the podcast. We've got four superheroes today in the topic of cancer rehab. Essentially, we are going to be learning everything we can in a short amount of time with these superheroes, with these absolute amazing rock star clinicians here. We're going to just kind of try to keep some semblance of order here. If things go off the rails, so be it. We're okay with that too. I think the first thing that we'll start off with here is just if everybody can do just a quick introduction, you know, who you are, a little bit about your educational background, your undergrad and where you did PT school, and then what got you into cancer rehab. So, Scott, let's start off with you.
Right. Thank you. And thank you, Scott, not just for doing this podcast, but for pulling all these incredible clinicians together. We say all the time that even though we are a small academy, when you compare us to some of the other academies within APTA, like we are small but mighty. And I think one of the biggest things that we do consider ourselves a family. So thank you for having us all here.
Absolutely.
I'm Scott Capoza. I'm an outpatient oncology physical therapist up in Connecticut. I went to physical therapy school at Ithaca College in New York because it's a great day to be a bummer. I think I'm the most senior member of this panel currently. So it's okay when I say that oncology rehab wasn't a thing when I graduated from physical therapy school. 25 years ago, we told our patients not to move. Exercise, Scott, if you can wrap your head around this, exercise was contraindicated for patients with cancer 25 years ago. They were told not to move.
That is wild.
Even if I wanted to go into cancer rehab, it didn't really exist. You know, Nicole Stout was, you know, just kind of getting her feet onto the ground and, you know, kind of, it wasn't really. And so I became a peds therapist because I thought, hey, I can get paid to play with kids. This is great. And so I kind of fell into oncology rehab. I was given an opportunity to work in a multidisciplinary cancer survivorship clinic, working with patients after treatment with a very dynamic team. And I did that one day a week for many years until I realized that I was referring these patients out and not keeping them in our health system. And that's when I went and started pursuing more about oncology rehab, learning about what that is. And that coincided with the first specialization exam in oncology. And so I took that first board exam in 2019 and became one of the first clinical specialists in oncology physical therapy in the country. And that's how I ended here today.
Awesome. Elise, how about you?
Hello, I'm Elise Cantu. I am here in Fort Worth, Texas, which is actually where I did my undergrad. Go Frogs. I went to TCU and did my undergrad, and then I went down to Texas State for physical therapy school. And so now I'm back here in Fort Worth. I have a private practice where I treat oncology patients all day, every day. As you can tell, oncology is my favorite thing. And what really got me into cancer rehab, I grew up actually talking about cancer at the dinner table. My mom's an oncology nurse. My sister went on to be an oncology nurse, and I knew this was something cool, but I didn't know how I could be a part of it. And so it was purely by coincidence that I got to go to APTA CSM as a brand new PT student with my undergrad professor, and I stumbled into a session with Nicole Stout and Amy Litterini. And there was literally life before CSM and there was life after CSM. And it was literally at that CSM session that I found out that I could be a PT and work with cancer survivors. And I've never looked back since then.
I love it. I love it. That's an awesome intro. Adam, how about yourself?
My name is Adam Matichek. I am also a board certified onco PT specialist. I am an acute care therapist at Stanford Healthcare in Palo Alto, California. I work primarily with hematology oncology and bone marrow transplant and immunotherapy patients on the acute care side. I did my PT school at University of Pacific out in beautiful Stockton, California, which I would not recommend visiting. And so I got my start in cancer rehab. I did my last clinical rotation at Stanford, and just like the way that it works is we get assigned to a CI and we work on whatever unit that CI works on. And that happened to be the BMT unit. And I just fell in love with it from there. And I've been back full-time at Stanford since 6 months after I graduated from PT school.
Wow. Love it. Last but not least, Alex.
Hello, I'm Alex Hill. I practice in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm a outpatient therapist and I specialize in pelvic health and oncology. I went to undergrad in Kent State in Ohio, and then I came down to Florida for PT school. I went to University of Florida, go Gators, got to get the chomp in there. And then I actually did a women's health residency right after I graduated, and I did that at Duke. So of course we got to go Blue Devils. So I've been doing this ever since, specializing in pelvic health, oncology, and lymphedema for 10 years now. This is 10 years this year, which is crazy to me. But I've been doing it this whole time and I've absolutely loved it. And I first got into it actually through pelvic health. So I was in an outpatient ortho clinical rotation and we had several pelvic health therapists at my clinic. And I just wanted to know what they did behind the doors all day. Like I heard laughing, I heard crying, what do they do? And so I shadowed them and they all did pelvic health and oncology. And so for me, it was just so fascinating to see the interplay between these two populations, but also seeing that working with cancer survivors, it's not so scary. It's not just treating red flags all day. And so I thought that was just so fascinating and loved the impact that you could have within one session for both pelvic health and oncology. And then within the women's health residency and taking that board certification exam, oncology conditions are included. So prostate cancer, breast cancer, that kind of thing. So I'm now dual board certified in women's health, misnomer. I wish that they changed it. But dual board certified in women's health and oncology.
Wow. I mean, like I said, you guys are superheroes in my eyes. I appreciate you guys for taking the time to come on here. I love the fact that you all are experts and authorities in the field that I can send people to, because I don't know. I I'm a generalist at best, right? But I do have a lot of students under my wing now that come and ask me questions on specialties like women's health, like oncology, like pediatrics, like geriatrics. And, I don't know all the things, but I know who to send them to when they ask. And this is my panel. This is my crew. So here's the first question we're going to start with. And Alex, we'll start with you here. What's one thing that you would like to educate healthcare professionals on, whether it be students or clinicians, regarding cancer rehab?
I would say the biggest thing is to not overlook pelvic health concerns. I will die on the hill that every cancer survivor needs to have their pelvic health screened, and doing it in a way more than just screening for red flags. I could talk for hours about this, but there's just, with so many different types of cancer treatment, there are so many different implications on pelvic health, like bladder, bowel, sexual health, pelvic pain. And these are just topics that are getting missed because, one, we're not taught how to appropriately screen them and then refer, I feel like, in PT school and in the clinic. And oftentimes these are things that, unless you're working with a pelvic cancer survivor, for example, you're not thinking about them. It's an afterthought. And it really shouldn't be, especially when there are providers who are able to address them. So screen for pelvic floor dysfunction.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting up there in age, so all the screens are starting to hit me, you know, and it's like, I know a couple of them I've got coming up that I'm not looking forward to, but, you know, it's all in the name of good health, right? So, Adam, exactly. How about you? What's one thing you would like to educate the healthcare providers and students on?
I'm glad I get to go before Elise, because I'm going to steal her line. And it's not a matter of, of if you are going to treat somebody that has cancer or a history of cancer, it is when. We are, like Scott said at the beginning, we're a small academy and few of us choose to specialize in this area, but it's something that's going to affect everyone at some point in their career, regardless of setting, patient population, it doesn't matter. You know, even if you think, oh, I work in sports PT, I only work with these, you know, super high level athletes. What if one of those super high level athletes had cancer as a pediatric patient, and now they have long-term effects from their treatment that you need to know about when you're treating these patients? So I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, we need more oncology education in DPT programs, because the numbers are, they just keep going up. There's, you know, more people diagnosed every year. There's more people that are surviving longer. So regardless of, you know, where you decide to practice, you need to have at least a basic understanding of what cancer patients go through, short-term, long-term side effects. And I'll kick it to Elise now, since I stole her thunder.
It's okay to reference those on the panel here. That's all right. We're all family here. Elise, I would say, you know, follow it up, but it sounded like it, you know, he already referenced you, so I don't know where to go from there.
I'd like to cite Matichak 2024 here.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And now for a quick shout out to our newest sponsor, Varela Financial. If you're a physical therapist and you have student loan debt, you got to talk to these guys. What makes them unique is that they view financial planning like running hurdles on a track. And for PTs, the first hurdle many of us run into is student loan debt. Varela Financial will help you get over that hurdle. They not only take the time to explain to you which plans you individually qualify for and how those plans work, but they also take the time to show you what your individual case looks like, mapped out within each option. So if you're looking for help on your student loan debt or any area of personal finances, we recommend working with them. I use Varela Financial personally, and they were able to help me lower my student loan repayment from about $1,800 a month down to about $135 per month simply by finding the right repayment plan that best fit me, my family, and our life goals. You can check them out at VarelaFinancial.com. Link is in the show notes if you need it for reference, and tell them the HET podcast crew sent you. And now, back to the show.
Right. I would like to, you know, really encourage the students, the professionals out there, that cancer rehab is thought of as such a niche area. And that is such a false mindset here. Because like Adam said, cancer is so common. It's not if, it's when. And I think what I would really want to leave people with is, you already know how to do a ton of stuff with your cancer survivor patients, right? Our patients with cancer, with a history of cancer, experience weakness, fatigue, balance problems, falls, all these things that we as physical therapists know how to work with and address. You already know most of what you need to do with our cancer survivors. Now, there are some devil in the details, but we can talk about that later.
Yeah, I mean, I personally have had some family members affected by it, and I never thought I'd be treating, you know, those type of patients, but they were literally in my home and I was their physical therapist, right? So like, you know, it definitely pays to recognize, because population numbers alone are going up. We're going to see an increase and a rise in all of the things. So cancer is one of them, unfortunately, you know. Scott, round us off.
Alex and Adam and Elise, you've all had amazing points. I would just say for the providers, any oncology providers who are listening, that referring your patient to physical therapy is only going to improve
your patient's overall outcomes. There is a study that came out of Yale Cancer Center last year that followed women with breast cancer who exercised for 5 years. And it showed that it improved their overall rate of survival by 25%. So it can make a significant impact on somebody's overall survival, but they have to get referred to us, right? They have to get to us. So that's why for our providers who are listening, that is why you need to collaborate with and refer to your physical therapist. It's, and if they are experts in oncology PT, that's even better.
Awesome. Awesome. All right.
Can I dovetail off that a little bit?
Yeah, please, please.
So like reaching out to providers, and this is something that Nicole would bring up if she was here, is, you know, be proactive. Don't wait until things start going wrong to get us involved. You know, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Like Scott said, just, you know, getting patients to exercise and move more, especially when they're in the hospital going through, you know, their first round of treatment or their first couple of rounds of treatment, or when we get patients that are coming in for bone marrow transplant. The biggest piece of education that I do is I don't care how much you do each day, but you have to do something. You have to get up and move around. I don't care if you're having a really bad day and the amount of exercise that you get is getting from your bed to the chair. I need you to do something.
Yeah, I love that advice. And that actually is a perfect segue into our next question, which is, what is one thing you'd like to educate the general public on or cancer patients on? Scott, let's start it with you.
Yeah. Yeah, dovetailing off of Adam, what you just said right there. I would say for anybody who is newly diagnosed with cancer, you deserve to feel better. And we as oncology PTs, we can help you. Any PT can help you with that, to help you move better, feel better. And Scott, in the moment of a cancer diagnosis, when a patient feels like their world is spinning out of control and they don't know left from right, and they don't feel like they have any control anymore, right? All of a sudden, they've got to go to all these appointments. They got to go for blood work and they got to go for scans and they got to figure out childcare coverage because they're going to have surgery in 10 days. We as PTs can help our patients get some control back by helping them learn how to control and move their bodies. And so that's what I would tell anybody who's newly diagnosed with cancer, is that you need to be able to connect with the PT from the beginning, and we will follow you through your trajectory of care.
Yeah, right. That's one of the biggest benefits that we have as healthcare providers being a PT, is that we see these patients over such a long period of time, where it's not just like a GP who sees you for 6 minutes twice a year or something like that, right? Or a specialist who might see you for one thing one time and then you're out, right? We connect with these patients many, many times over many, many visits, over many, many weeks and months and whatever it may be. So we have the opportunity to build those relationships and to really build that network of like trust. And I think that's huge, because like you said, on, you know, day one, week one, even of like a cancer diagnosis, like exercise isn't really a top of the list right now. Like, I'm trying to get my life in order here. Like, you know, give me a minute. Right. So like we have that opportunity to build that. So I love that. Elise, how about you? What would you like to educate the general public on and cancer patients on?
I mean, all the things, but I know obviously our time is limited. So I would say if I had to pick one thing, I see so commonly patients will come to me years after they've been diagnosed and they're still living with these very long lasting chronic side effects and impairments as a result of their cancer diagnosis and their treatment. And there's so commonly this thought process of this guilt of like, I should just be happy to be alive. Who cares if I, and, you know, I know Alex is going to talk about this. Who cares if I can't have sex with my partner? Who cares if I'm not able to get up in the morning by myself? Who cares if I can't go back to my exercise classes or pick up my child above my head? We care about that. And I think as physical therapists, our job is to help you live after a cancer diagnosis. You know, really working on, we can help you live your life again, even after a diagnosis like this, even after treatment. Like, these things may be common it's not normal to still experience all of this so long after your diagnosis. We can help you with that.
I love that. That's super, super powerful. Adam, how about you?
I'm going to take a little step back from the rehab side of things. And one thing that I would like to educate just the general public on is if someone in your family, if a friend, if a coworker is diagnosed with cancer, one of the best things that you can do is just show up. It's not, you know, very specific, you know, or sorry, not just like super vague, like, oh, what can I do? It's, you know, organize a meal train for them, you know, offer to take, you know, come over and do their laundry, things that they can't do when they're going through treatment and are super fatigued. And all of these things feel like they're just piling up. It's everyday stuff. It's, you know, can I pick up your kids from school? It's, you know, can I come and mow your lawn? Like all these little things that, you know, patients have to deal with that are just everyday things that we don't think about on a day-to-day basis because we are capable of going out and doing those things. But when they're going through treatment and they're so fatigued that, you know, even just getting through the day is enough of a challenge for them. You know, they need the people that are close to them, the people that are in their life to show up and, you know, kind of be helpful, even if that's, you know, coming over and talking because they're having a really crappy day, the treatment's kicking their butt and they just need someone to talk to. You know, I think we see kind of a lot of both sides, you know, especially on the acute care side. You know, we have patients that always have, you know, friends and family visiting and, you know, bringing them food and, you know, decorating their hospital rooms. And that's great. That's wonderful. And then it's, you know, a tragedy when we see the other side, when we have patients that, you know, whether like family's far away or, you know, they have a limited support system outside of the hospital and they don't have that same level of support to help get them through this. And I think those are the patients that, you know, as providers, we really need to kind of step up for.
And if I can add to that, Adam, I mean, that's an amazing point that you made. And I think it's important to note too, it is, if you're in a situation, you know, like if the five of us, if a friend of ours was diagnosed with cancer, like we're just going to instinctively like put our PT hat on, right? To go over and be like, oh, okay, well, let me help you, you know, with mobility and that sort of thing. But Adam, you know, I think it's what you're getting to at is that in a moment like that, like we should just be their friend, right? Don't treat them any differently, right? Show up, watch a football game with them, like, you know, pop some popcorn, sit on the couch, watch some Netflix with your friend and be their friend. So yeah, if you're going to take the 10,000 foot level approach, like absolutely, like don't do anything. If it's your person, right, that is going through this, don't put your PT hat on. Just be their friend.
Yeah. The human element, right? Love it. Mm-hmm. Alex, how about you?
So Elise knows me very well. Of course, she knows that I want to talk about sex, but I'm going to expand that.
We'll allow it. We'll allow it.
Yes. But I'm going to expand that a little bit more in terms of advocacy and advocating for yourself, because so many times I've worked with people who have recently had a surgery or radiation and something just doesn't feel right. And they're calling their doctor, they're calling the triage nurse, and they're asking for help. And they say, oh, no, you're fine. This is normal. Don't worry about it. It'll get better. And it ends up being something like courting or a recurrence or something that should have been caught. And I think that, you know, this is going to get in a whole other topic, but there's just so much gaslighting in medicine. And I think that it's also very prevalent in oncology because one, you know, a lot of survivors are very hypervigilant about what they're feeling, which understandably so. And what's going on in their body. They're so acutely aware of what's happening, what's different. And we as healthcare providers need to listen to that and take them seriously. We need to do more than just a 2-second message on my chart or phone screen. And we need to, especially outside of PT, because we're very hands-on, right? That's normal for us. But all providers need to look at the patient's skin. They need to get their hands on them to see if there is something else going on. So I think really advocating for yourself and finding a patient advocate if you don't feel like you're being heard. I'm sure everybody here on the panel can also speak to this, how many times you've also advocated for your patient to get them in with their oncologist or their nurse or their PCP or their cardiologist, because something just spidey sense, right? Like something's just not sitting right. And so advocacy is definitely big. If we then transition into talking about sex, right? 60% of cancer survivors have long-term sexual dysfunction. That's huge, but only 25% are actually getting care from a healthcare professional. Lot to unpack there in terms of healthcare providers aren't asking because they're not comfortable talking about it. They don't know who to refer to. They don't know what to do if the patient does have issues. The patient's not comfortable talking about it. They may, you know, as Elise said earlier, feel like kind of survivor's guilt or like, why am I worrying about sex? Like, I just beat cancer. I should be grateful to be alive. Like, no. Sex is an ADL. It's an activity of daily living. It's a part of a human experience. And frankly, you just beat cancer, you should be having the best sex of your life. So for me, like that is something to advocate for and to get people help with whatever types of side effects they're having that are contributing to that. But kind of overarching is advocate for yourself.
Well, I hope that episode was entertaining as much as it was informational and educational. If you enjoyed this episode or any of our past episodes, we ask you to please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating and review. And please share out the episodes to those who you feel may be able to benefit from them. We also urge you to follow us on all social media platforms at HET Podcast and let us know what topics or experts you would like to hear from in future episodes. And just as a reminder, none of the information on today's show should be considered medical advice. It's simply infotainment or edutainment to help educate our audience. For medical advice, we always advise you to reach out to your preferred medical professionals, and we'll see you on the next show.